Call your attention now to the 7th chapter of Mark's Gospel again, beginning at verse 24. Mark 7, beginning at verse 24. From there he arose and went to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and he entered a house and wanted to be no one to know it, but he could not be hidden. For a woman whose daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him, and she came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, Syrophoenician by birth, and she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. But Jesus said to her, "Let the children be filled first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she answered and said to him, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs." And he said to her, "For this saying, go your way. The demon has gone out of your daughter." When she'd come to her house, she found the demon gone out and her daughter lying on the bed. And this is the word of God for the people of God. I don't know whether it bothers you or not, but in some ways this is one of the most difficult passages of the New Testament, which seems to show that Jesus was hesitant to extend his ministry to the Gentiles. Talks about the children being fed before the dogs. Many efforts have been made to explain this passage, and quite frankly, none have been satisfactory to me. But I believe tonight that we need to focus on the fact that Jesus did care, and he did heal the sick child. We need to look closely at the mother and her faith, and the faith which won the blessing that she sought. Somehow she heard about Jesus. We don't know what she heard or how she heard. He was a Jew. She was a Greek. He believed in the faith of his people. Yea, was the Messiah sent from God. She was what we would call a pagan, a heathen, a non-believer. We don't know, again, what she heard about Jesus, but whatever it was, it awakened a spark of hope in this mother's heart. And this hope manifests itself in an act of faith. Our faith surely had many elements to it, but I want us to consider three tonight. First and foremost, she had love. William Barclay said, "Heathen she might be, but in her heart there was that love for her child which is always the reflection of God's love for his children." It was love which made her approach this stranger. It was love which made her suffer the apparent rebuffs. It was love which made her able to see the compassion beyond and behind the words of Jesus. The driving force of this woman's heart was love, and there's nothing stronger and nothing nearer to God than love. Because there was no hope anywhere else, love compelled her to seek out Jesus and to hear whatever was necessary and to bear whatever was necessary for her child. One thing counted for her at that moment, one thing and only one thing, and that was her little girl. And she wanted above everything to have Jesus to help her child. Hers was a love that would not let her child go. And thinking about it, I have to ask the question, does our faith manifest itself in this kind of love for our own children? For the children of our church, for the children of our world. Do we give ourselves our time, our talent, our treasure to be sure that our children are loved and cared for and introduced to and taught about Jesus? Do we refuse to let them go, refuse to give up on them, and do whatever is necessary to make them truly whole in Christ? Do we have this kind of love for our children that we will not let them go? Does our faith reach out in love to children not our own, but children of God? Children who so desperately need to be provided for and loved. I don't know whether she's still there or not, but there was a woman named Ella McCall, a social worker in Washington, D.C. She worked with and cared for some 600 children. She was speaking at Asbury United Methodist Church in Washington, and she had the following to say. She said, I need all God's avenging angels to help me keep my babies safe from harm, because I've got no magic wand. I can only say I love you, baby, and pray for a miracle. I've got no magic wand to make my babies go to school. These innocent little ones are ashamed of their dress. I'm hurting real bad, Miss McCall. I'm hurting real bad. I don't want to go to school. In school, where peer approval is the kiss of life and disapproval is the kiss of death, the other kids call them dirty babies, shelter babies, stinky babies, and punch them and hit them and run them home. My babies, she said, are just as smart and beautiful as good as other babies. They're braver than most. They have survived trials that would try the soul of the strongest man. And they're just little kids. And she said this, those who have not tasted their tears, that grabbed me. Those who have not tasted their tears, and my babies say, Ella, you love homeless children too much. And I laugh. How can you love the innocent and suffering too much? There's no such thing as too much love. Too many hours at the shelter, too many tears. The thieves of poverty, degradation, and drugs have already robbed them of happy childhood. How can I rob them of my love? How can I deny them kisses? They are as endangered as any wilderness park, any river, any rare animal in America. When together we can say, love you, baby, together we'll begin to save our babies. Does our faith reach out in love? Not just to our own, but to all of God's children. Well, this woman's faith expressed itself in love for her child. It not only expressed itself in love, it also expressed itself with a relentless persistence. She would not give up. She would not be defeated. This woman came to Jesus not because he was a possible helper, but because he was her only hope. Love drove her to him. Love for her child. She came with a passionate hope, a deep sense of need, and a refusal to be discouraged. She was deadly earnest about this. She had one passionate desire of her soul, that her daughter be healed, and she could not, must not, need not take no for an answer. Halford Bucket said of this, suppose that all Christian parents and all churches had the same persistence and ingenuity in bringing to their children the saving influence of Christ. If parents had something of the woman's relentless determination to bring into their homes Jesus' power, his power to heal life, to preserve it, to enrich it, to cast out evil spirits from it, how much smaller the number of children who would drift away. Every parent, even when they found out they expecting a child, should thank God for that unborn child and dedicate that child to God before it's even born. and dedicated in baptism when it comes into the world. Let them remind the child every day that they belong to God, and that God loves them. And let them know, let the children know that you're praying for them. Remind them of their baptism, that they're a child of God, they belong to God. Let us teach and discipline our children. Teach them that Christ, in the love of God, came to redeem us and refuses to let them go. If we'd hold God with one hand and to our children with the other and never let them go, we'd express some of the persistence of this woman. And if this church as a whole had the love and persistence of this mother's in bringing Jesus' influence into the lives of our children and all the children of the community who might be touched, what a changed community we could have. What a changed church world. Bring your children to Jesus and then reach out to other children. This woman's faith expressed itself in love. It expressed itself in a relentless persistence that would not stop, would not let go. And her faith was expressed by the use of her intellect and wit. There is in this story a clear picture of Jesus' admiration of this woman's intellect and wit. When he said the children need to be fed before the little dogs, she said, notice quickly she responded. Even the little dogs eat the crumbs under the table. Her keen and nimble mind, no doubt the very courage of her witty reply, all met with Jesus' appreciation and approval. Said, because of your answer, the child's made whole. Well, there was humility in her faith. She didn't go demanding that he heal a child. She fell at his feet to make her appeal. But she didn't lay aside her brains either. She used all her natural ability, all of her mental capacity, in bringing her case before Jesus. And today God wants us to use all of our minds as well as our hearts in serving Him. Some have gotten the mistaken idea that to have faith is to not use your intellect. But nothing could be further from the truth. Paul wrote to Timothy, and I believe Jesus would affirm it. We're to study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that need not be ashamed. So in this story, we find a faith that's sure to win God's blessing. A faith that expresses itself in love. A faith that has expressed itself in relentless persistence. A faith that would have us use all of our mental capacities, all of our abilities for God. I pray that God would help us to grow in such a faith. Having said whatever the servants have said tonight, I just want to stop and Thank God again. That I was born in a Christian home. And before I could remember, my great-grandfather baptized me into the faith. I thank God. The earliest memory of my life has been in Sunday school. I thank God for teachers who came week after week after week to that Sunday school and taught me about Jesus. And I would covet for every child the care and the love that was bestowed upon me by my parents, by the church, by the school. But we all need a love like this woman. A love that will not let go. And a love that uses all of our faculties for God's glory. Father God, we do thank you tonight. For all the blessings that you've bestowed upon us through all of our days. But how thankful we are for Christian homes that teach the children early that Jesus loves them. For Sunday school teachers that give of themselves to teach children that may not hear elsewhere of your infinite love and grace. Thank you for your church that always shows forth your love. And Father, help us to care as this mother cared for her child. Help us to care for our children, for the children of the church, for the community children. And not let them go, but bring them again and again to you in prayer. And give ourselves in telling them of the love of Jesus. And it's in your wonderful name that we pray.